Morning to Proverbs chapter 14. I'm going to read verse 1 of Proverbs chapter 14, where the word of the Lord says, "Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her hands." This day is a day that is that the Lord hath made. It's His day that has been set aside for us to set aside the cares of this world and worship Him. It's a day in which, in addition to those things, our society has set aside a time to recognize our mothers. This is no different than any other time that I've stood before you on such a day, that our society has a special recognition that day to ask a special interest in your prayers. And it's because I never want to get to the point where the days that the society has set aside drives my mind on what I'm going to try to speak to you about that particular morning. But at the same time, if it's the Lord's will, I want to speak on what the Lord would have me to speak on. And if He'd be with me this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about the motherly traits of our Lord. The motherly traits of our Lord. You know, whenever I say that term, there's no doubt about it that I'm going to have to clarify some things before I go any further along that subject. Whenever I say the motherly traits of our Lord, I'm not putting forth the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is a feminine man. That's not what I'm indicating by saying that. That's not what I'm trying to put forward. I'm not trying to identify our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as having an identity crisis, is what a lot of people in society have around that subject. You know, whenever you talk about the challenge that exists within a person's being as whether or not they're a man or a woman. And if you'll remember the struggle that took place some 6+ months ago, I believe it was Oklahoma. I may be wrong about the state, but they passed a law within that particular city that they were to have a public restroom set up, and you could go into whichever one you thought you were. So in other words, if you felt like you were a woman and you were a man, you could go into the women's restroom as opposed to going in the men's. And it just caused a tremendous uproar within that community. Praise be to the Lord that it did, that people didn't just stand by and let things like that go forward. So whenever I say motherly traits of our Lord, I'm not putting forth the idea that Jesus was not a man, that He was not the Son of God, not the daughter, the Son of God and the Son of Man. That's not what I'm putting forth. But what I'm saying is that there's some traits of our Lord Jesus Christ that He even brings to our attention that are in the feminine, in the motherly way. You know, if we go over to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, stay here with me in the book of Proverbs, because the first trait that we're going to talk about is that he builds his house. That he hath built his house and he daily builds his house. But if we go over to the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, we can see that the words of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ himself say the following. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which I have sent unto thee, how oft would I have gathered thy children under thy wings, under my wings, as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Is he saying there that he's a woman? No, what he's saying is that there's some traits that I brought forth that I would have gathered. I would have gathered thy children together. I would have brought them into a great blessing and to be in my bosom just as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. He brings forth there, and he's referred to as a her. Does that mean that he's a woman? No, it just means that he has some traits that are motherly traits. You know, Jesus Christ is our brother. He's our friend. He's our redeemer. He's our mother. He's our father. He's whatever we need him to be. He can cover the whole spectrum. He is whatever we need him to be at the present time. That's our Savior. If you go back to the 11th chapter of the book of Matthew, you can see that the Son of Man came eating and drinking. But they said, who is the they? It's the generation of the Jews. The Scripture says, but they said, behold, a man gluttonous, and a wine bibber, and a friend of publicans and sinners. But the Lord Jesus Christ, he spoke in the following sentence, and he says, but wisdom is justified of her children. He refers to himself as her. Wisdom is the her. Who is the wisdom? It's the Son of Man. I tell you, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has some motherly traits, the first of which, every wise woman buildeth her house. How many women carpenters do we have in the congregation? How many women do we have that have a tool belt and that know how to use a hammer and a chisel and a drill? You know, we probably got some that can. I know if we spend much time around our house, if we had to wait on me to do everything that needed to be done in that regard, you might see some empty walls on our house where pictures needed to be hung by somebody that was willing to do it, and it was a woman at that particular time. But you know, whenever we see that every wise woman builded her house. You know, one of the things that you and I need to come to terms with quickly in the Word of God is that whenever we read about a house, we're not just talking about the sticks and stones that compose the masonry and the framing of that particular structure. We're talking about people. We're talking about a group of people at times. We're talking about a family at a time. We're talking about some things that aren't just talking about the physical parts of it. We're talking about people. Every wise woman buildeth her house. And that means that she's a woman that's got her hands in the work. She's steady trying to raise up children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. She's steady trying to provide for them and do for them in the way that a mother does. And in the same way that every wise woman buildeth her house is the same thing that the Lord Jesus Christ has done for his earthly house here in this world, that being the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and also in eternal heaven. Every wise woman buildeth her house. The Scripture says unto us that the Lord Jesus Christ, he built a house. He built a house. He built his kingdom. He built a place for them in this world for his children to abode and to be able to step out from the world and come and feel a little closer to him on a particular day in which they meet. You know, this verse I quoted often, and you say, Brother Will, you quote that verse all the time. You know, I think that people need to continuously remember that the place in which we worship the Lord Jesus Christ was not a place that was built by the hands of men. It's a place that the Lord Jesus Christ has built. And he says in the 18th verse of Matthew chapter 16, he says, but thou art Peter. But upon this rock I shall build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Every wise woman buildeth her house, and the Lord Jesus Christ built his house here in this world. He's built a place for us to set aside and to come and worship him. In the 127th Psalm, the psalmist David said, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house. They labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh. But in vain. Who do we depend on as being the builder of the house in which we dwell? If it was built by anybody else, I want to tell you it'll have an end just like anybody else. But because it was built by the Lord Jesus Christ, then just as he'll live forever and ever, the church will as well until the Lord comes out of the clouds and takes her home to be with him. It's built
by Him, and because it's built by Him, He's alive and in our midst. He's working in the hearts of the children. He's blessing or from time to time blesses the man that stands before Him, blesses the people that are seated to be able to hear the precious truths and understand what an awesome God that we have that we worship here today. Every wise woman buildeth her house. And I want to tell you, a lot of people will say, and my wife gets this all the time, and so I'm sure she's not the only one that gets it. Do you work? Does your wife work? I get asked that all the time, Miles. Does your wife work? Yes, she works. She works more than I do. I'm going to be the first to tell you. Here it is, Mother's Day today. You know who woke up? You know who cleaned out the dishwasher? You know who cooked? My wife did. Here it is, Mother's Day, you know. And I joked with her, you know, whenever she got breakfast ready, and I said, I enjoyed my Mother's Day breakfast so much this morning. She works every, sure, my wife may not go punch a clock at a particular factory, but she works every day. And every wise woman buildeth her house. That means that it requires laboring in the house in which God has given her a place to have some influence in raising up her children in the nourishment and admonition of the Lord. It requires work. You know, it'll cause indignation and wrath in some that don't appreciate those sort of things. But we ought to do just as the 31st chapter of the book of Proverbs teaches us to do. We ought to praise people that are willing to work. Constantly work. Constantly work. Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down with her own hands. The Lord Jesus Christ gave us the principle of building His house here in this world. You know, we go over to the book of Hebrews in the 3rd chapter, and I'm going to turn over there and read it. Because I'm afraid if I make a quote at it, I'm not going to get the gist of it. That the Apostle Paul, who I believe is the author of the book of Hebrews, tells the tribe of Israel. He says in verse 6, but Christ is a son over His own house. Whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. He was referring to the people of faith. He's referring to the church as those of being the Lord's house. What are some requirements? You know, there's more of a requirement to be in the church than just having church on your sign. There's more of a requirement to be in a church than just having a particular title church in front of your sign. There's some requirements of the people that are within there. There's some things that they're called to continue in if they're going to be the house of the living God. He's a son over His own house. And what are some things that He tells us here are necessary? Whose house are we if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing firm unto the end? In other words, if we hold fast some things, we hold fast our trust and our confidence in the Lord. I heard a man not long ago, he got real up in arms that a preacher used the term confidence. And he says, I don't think that carries it enough. I think we got to say faith. You know, well, the scriptures say confidence. If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope, that means that you and I, if we'll hold fast the confidence and trust that indeed our Lord is on His throne, that our Lord is watching over us, that our Lord is coming back, rejoicing of the hope. What is a hope? It's an earnest expectation that He's coming again. You know, if you and I ever lose that rejoicing in our heart, if you and I ever let those things slip, those precious truths that indeed our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, He loved us enough to come and to endure the things that He endured on the cross at Calvary. He loves us enough that He's going to come back and raise us out of those graves and take us home to be with Him firm unto the end. We'll be His house. Every wise woman buildeth her house. You know, whenever you think of every wise woman buildeth her house, you think of not only the work and the labor that the Lord Jesus Christ endures among His family who are worshiping Him here in this world. Think about the work that the Lord Jesus Christ endured to build our earthly house, our earthly tabernacles to be bound for heaven one day. You know, I want to tell you, child of grace, today, these old bodies that we dwell in are not fitted by nature for heaven. It's not something that just by nature that you and I can just say that we can possess heaven in these vessels, that everything that we need in order to be able to go to heaven, we can do in and of these vessels. No, it took some work. And that work, He that hath wrought us for this same thing is Christ. It was done by the Lord Jesus Christ. He built us for these things. The Scripture says in the book of 2 Corinthians in the 5th chapter, if this earthly house, if this tabernacle was dissolved,
In other words, meaning if you pass here in this world, we know that we have a building, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. So don't come and tell me that you and I can do one of these things that are necessary in order to be able to go to heaven, to that celestial home one day. These things were built by the Lord. That's a trait that the Lord Jesus Christ has that is a motherly trait. He's at work here among the people of God. And you say that, you know, that tense in Proverbs chapter 14 is a present tense, is it not? Every wise woman buildeth her house. You know, let's never forget about the F's. If we're going to be King James translation, if we're going to be sticklers to it, we've got to stress the F's as well as the ED's, as well as the will do's, as well as the shall do's. You have to address the tense that's given on the verb. Well, the way that we address the tense whenever we're talking about every wise woman buildeth her house is that the Lord daily is building His house for His children in heaven, and that He's borning them again by the sovereign work of the Holy Spirit day by day by day. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That's the Lord's work. And He's building His house. And it's a trait of a mother building her house. I want to tell you, not only do we see in the Scriptures that's given to us that a motherly trait of our Lord is that He's one that builds His house, we also see that another trait of our Lord is that He's a comforter. That He's a comforter. I don't know about you, daddies and you brethren here, but I'm probably not the most softest and gentlest in our house. I'm just going to tell you, there's times whenever we're out there in the yard and I'm trying to get something done, and I'll hear a whimper. I can tell a fall has taken place. Now, I think I've got it in my mind. I can tell when there's an injury and when there's not. I can tell when there's an injury and when there's somebody just mad. You know, there's a difference between those two cries. One, to me, is real blatant. Somebody's hurt. The other is somebody's just mad. I'm going to let them sort it out. But if I've got Sister Allison right there by my side, no matter what, whenever one of those children cries, she's going to them. She's going to them because she's going to comfort one that's in need. Some motherly traits of our Lord is that when we cry unto Him, whenever you and I cry unto our Lord Jesus Christ, you can bet a little bit that He hears it. And the Scripture tells us that whenever He hears our cries, that He'll answer our cries, that we cry unto Him. He's coming. It doesn't mean that He does that immediately. It means He comes in His own time. But how many times that if you and I were to just tell one another what our cries are, that you and I would sometimes just shrug that off and say it'll be okay one day, that instead of the Lord saying it'll be okay one day, I'm coming right now, and I'm coming to address it right now. You know, one of my favorite verses of Scripture in the Bible is in the 13th chapter of the book of John. Whenever we see, you remember we read from this chapter last week whenever we were talking about the feet washing service, and we were talking about what the Lord did that day, and He washed His disciples' feet, and then He began to talk to them about one that would betray Him. One that would betray Him. And the Scripture tells us that there was a disciple whom Jesus loved that rested upon His bosom. In other words, he came to the bosom of our Lord and He laid there. You want to know why He laid there? A disciple whom Jesus loved is because immediately whenever they were talking about one that would betray Him, He knew He was a sinner. He knew that He could not do that which was perfect in the eyes of God. He knew that He was just as guilty as the one that He was speaking of that day. And you and I are too. But He rested and found comfort. He found comfort in the bosom of His Lord. You know, go over with me to the book of 2 Corinthians. And let's see here what the Scripture says about comfort. It says here in the book of 2 Corinthians in the first chapter, in his introductory remarks, the Apostle Paul says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort." The God of all comfort. You know, whenever we see blessed be God, that doesn't mean that God is in need of some blessings in the same way that you and I are in need of blessings from God. That means praise be unto God. Praise be unto God even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Father of mercies, and He's the God of all comfort. You know, we see in the next verse that who comforteth us. And if we're going to stress the S, what does that mean? That means that He's not just one who has comforted, and He's not one who will comfort. That's not just what He is. He's one who is presently comforting us, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. He's saying that I've comforted you and I've given you comfort so that you may be able to also comfort them that stand in need of comfort by the same way that I've sent comfort unto you. You know, whenever the Lord blesses us with something, He's not just blessing it to us and giving to us for you and I just to stockpile it and hold it. You know, the book of Proverbs would tell us that there is that which withholdeth and yet tendeth to poverty. There's that that withholdeth and yet tendeth to poverty. But yet there is that that scattereth and yet increaseth. And that's what the Lord is showing us here with the principle of comfort. I have comforted you. What ways has the Lord comforted you here in this world? What ways has the Lord sent comfort? Has it been through the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ? But I want to tell you, if you've received comfort and consolation in hearing about a Savior that loves you with an everlasting love, in spite of the sins that you've committed and an abomination in His eyes, in spite of the things that you've done, if you've received comfort in that, then brothers and sisters, you ought to comfort somebody else with that truth. You ought to comfort others with those things. That's exactly what He's saying, that you may be able to comfort others wherewith in the same reason, in the same means that you were comforted. And you say, well, does that mean I'm a sister? Does that mean I need to start preaching? No, that doesn't mean that. It means that by the same message that you've received, that you can comfort others with that same message. Because make no mistake about it, there's people that are hurting in this world. There's people that stand in need of an uplifting message of a Savior that loved them as much as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ loves them. And He's the God of all comfort. And in the same way that you were comforted at that time, you can comfort another one. It may be your child. It may be your niece and nephew. It may be a co-worker. It may be a friend at school. But the Lord will bless you to spread the comfort in the same way that He's blessed you in time past to be comforted by Him. You know, we see some motherly traits of our Lord. You know, I don't know about you, but whenever there's a cry in the house at night, and when there's something that needs attending to, there's a mama that gets it done a whole lot better than a daddy would. And there's times I tell stories about my mom and daddy, and they're not here. And there's times whenever I'm standing before you, and there's things I can say that I pray will apply when they are here. But I want to tell you, there ain't no comfort like mama's comfort. You hear me? And those of you, and some people say, does that mean that you're a mama's boy, Brother Will? You make no mistake about it. Whenever I was coming up, if I stood in need of something, I knew that I might get a growl on one end, but I knew I was going to get an ear on the other. And that's what our Lord is for us. He's a comforting ear just to hear us at times. How many times I've gone to Him and just wanted to talk. You know, just wanted to, you know, sometimes you think something's burning you, and then when you bow on your knees and you talk to the Lord, and all you do is just talk to Him and just talk to the Lord through prayer, immediately you receive comfort from it. I want to tell you, I don't know how that works. I can't tell you by the natural mind how that works, but I want to tell you, it does work that way. The Lord is able to comfort us in a way in which no other comparison can be. And same be to the relationship that we have with our mothers here in this world. You know, I know years ago, people didn't have the means of communication that we have now. And in a lot of ways, I think a lot of it's bad. I think it can be bad, and it can be a stumbling block to a lot of people to be able to have the access to communication that we have today. And you say, what ways can it be bad? You've got at your fingertips, you've got a lot of filthiness that just in a few punches of a button you can have popped up and be in your eyes. Just like that. It can just right there at your fingertips, you can type in a few code searches, a few letters, and you've got things that your eyes never needed to look upon. And if they've looked upon them in times past, never need to look on them again. There's things that are bad about those sort of things. There's things that are not so profitable. But I want to tell you, I'm thankful for a lot of the means of communication. And that is that even though I live about 200 miles away from
my mother, that I can pick up the phone and that I can call her from time to time, and I can receive that comfort that a mother can give in certain times. And I want to tell you, the same communication exists with our Lord. He hears you. You know how many times, sometimes whenever one of my children come to me to talk to me, and my mind is so caught up in a million things, and often in so many other things, that you and I, each and every time that we're spoken to by our children, need to realize that the same way that we listen to them. And you know, the problems that they come to us with and the little things, you and I have lived through them before, and what can we say? It'll be all right. It's going to be fine. It's dragging them down at this point in time, but it'll be all right later on. That's what's going through your mind, and so you just don't think it's that important. But think of what the Lord knows, and think about how He knows it's going to be okay, but yet He still takes the time to listen to us when we cry unto Him. And the same thing goes whenever we're being approached by the children here in this world, by our children here in this world, that we would hear them and that we would comfort them in a way in which we know we've been comforted in times past. I tell you, every wise woman buildeth her house. The Scripture teaches us that the traits of a mother are that she builds her house. The traits of a mother are that she comforts her children. Another trait that we see that is a trait of a mother that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ exhibits is that He instructs His children. He instructs His children. You show me a house that's void of instruction, and I'll show you that it may not happen immediately, but chaos will ensue up under that roof. You know, so often today, the popular thing for parents to do is to strive to be friends with their children. In other words, they're reluctant to issue the instruction and correction that the child needs because they know that it's gonna cause them not to like them. You know, whenever I've seen that exercised, and you say, Brother Will, you're awful young. I understand that. I understand. And there's those who are older here that if they disagree with me, I'm not going to say that they're wrong. I'm not. But I will tell you this. The times I've seen that exercise is you may have peace temporarily. And you may be their friend now. But over time, it starts to do this. And they start to drift apart. Whereas if the instruction were to take place, there may be some of this initially. But later on, when that child matures and sees that what their parent was telling them was right, they grow closer together later on. You know, the same thing goes sometimes whenever our Lord instructs and chastens and corrects us. We may feel at the time to be so far from Him and so distant from Him because of we feel like He's done us a certain way. But if we're able to recognize the way in which He's corrected us and instructed us, we're able to see a little bit later on whenever we matured how thankful we are that He did those things so that we can live a little closer to Him, a little further down the road. You know, the Scripture teaches us in regards to instruction that we've got a ton of it right here that we've got open in front of us here. You know, whenever I read the words of the Apostle Paul to Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy, he tells us that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You know, I think of that old hymn that we sing, what more can He say than to you He hath said? And those are exactly what you and I should think whenever we're pondering about the next step is what direction do we need to take in our life? Is that what more can He say than to you He has said? He's given us instructions here in this world. He's given us the things that you and I need to live here in this world. And any mother in their home that is void of the same, I tell you, is bound for some chaos in their home. It needs instruction. Children need instruction. You and I need instruction from our Lord. And whenever we receive that instruction, whenever we're corrected by the Lord, whenever we're brought back in the line, you and I should remember the verse that says, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. It's an evidence that God loves you is the reason why He's correcting you. You know how many times I look back and I, at the time of being corrected by a coach or by a loved one, I thought at the time, why not just leave me alone? You know, is that not the mentality of immaturity? I just want to be left alone. Maybe the mentality of immaturity sometimes when maybe the pastor may get a little bit on your toes, would it not? I tell you what, I wish Brother Will would get on somebody else's mind or starting to hurt a little bit. But I want to tell you, if you ever see anybody that desires to see you be corrected and desires to see you in the right way, it's because He loves you. You know, one of the easiest approaches you can take, if you will, is just to do nothing. And that means just to walk. But because somebody loves you, because they're willing to put forth the time to be able to give you that instruction, you ought to say, "Thank you, Lord, that you've put somebody in my life that's that way." You know, I look back and I've even had to send a few emails to get it off my heart of men that, there's no doubt about it, at the time that they were issuing the instruction and correction to me and trying to make me do a little better, they didn't get the response from me that would be worthy of appreciation. They didn't get it because I just wanted to be left alone. I just wanted to be able to tend to myself. I just wanted to be able to do as I wanted to do. But praise be unto the Lord that whenever we are corrected, whenever we receive instruction, that we're being treated by our Lord in the same way that a mother treats those that she loves up under her own roof. You know, we see in the book of Ecclesiastes in the 12th chapter, the preacher hath sought to find acceptable words, and the words of the wise were as nails and as goads as fastened by the masters of assemblies. We see that the word of God is something to goad us and to get us pointed in a direction that would be more pleasing to our Lord. You know, the psalmist David said in the 23rd Psalm that thy rod and thy staff comforteth me. You know, the rod and the staff. You know, you see a staff. You know, whenever you think of the old school shepherding days, before days of hog wire fence, and before the days of rifles being able to be implemented to keep wolves out of the sheep, you know that all that the shepherd utilized for that particular thing was a rod and for a staff. He used it to protect that flock from the enemies without. But it's also a picture of an instrument that's used to correct those that are within. A rod and a staff, they comfort me. You know, some of the motherly traits of our Lord are that He builds His house. And we see that He gives us comfort here day to day, that He instructs us day to day. Last one is that He provides and nourishes us. He provides for us and He nourishes us. You know, it does my heart so much good to sit here. And I know during the song service, sometime I look around and I see babies on mama's laps. And it brings a smile to my face. You know, babies come into our office from time to time. And man, there's some of them that are some wall climbers now. I'm just going to tell you, the mama will come in there trying to do some business for... because the daddy's off trying to work or do something else. She's in there trying to pull a permit for a husband or something else, and she drags two or three in there with them. And you can tell that they'd much rather be somewhere else. And you know, they automatically are having eyes rolled at them. You know, to see sometimes the reaction that others have to them being so high strung. But I still can't help but smile at times, because all it takes is a lot of times just for the mama to go pick them up and just hold them, and everything is soothed. Everything is fine. You know, I don't know about you, but one of the things that my children have done is they always seem to find Sister Allison's hair. If they can ever get a hold of the hair, if they can ever get a hold of what they're hunting, then they're okay. They feel like they've been pacified from whatever their issue is. But until that, they're at unrest and they're at distress in their soul. Well, you know, in the same way that we look at our natural mothers in such a way, is the same way that our Lord and Savior provides and nourishes for us. See, as soon as they feel the arms of their mother, they automatically know that they're in the place where they have been provided for in times past. They can automatically even think back to the time whenever a newborn is born and they've received that comfort in their mother's womb, and all it takes is that same voice that they've heard for those 9 or 10, 40 weeks. I don't know that. I've told you before, hold your breath whenever I start talking about doctor stuff, but I think it's 40 weeks, that 9 months. They even recognize the voice of that mother, and that they automatically know that in that place where I've heard that voice, I felt comfort and I was being provided and nourished for at that time. You know, whenever I
hear the still small voice of my Lord. And I need to hear it from time to time. I'm going to tell you that. I need to feel Him from time to time. I feel like I hear Him and I feel Him in our song service. I feel like I hear Him and feel Him whenever I'm blessed to try to stand before You, or whenever I'm seated there to hear another man proclaim the gospel. I hear the very voice of the Lord through the things that are said, and it's comforting to me. And I believe that in the midst of hearing those precious truths, that we're being able to be nourished in a spiritual way. We're able to eat from the table of the Lord. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. My cup runneth over. Thou anointest my head with oil. You know, I spoke it was last weekend down at a place, and I think I mentioned last week what the arrangements were. Was that one preacher started at 11, and the other one started at 11:30, and then they broke for 15 minutes, and then they came back in for me to try to speak, and I immediately knew that it was going to be tough to try to preach then. And I even commented before I started that it's hard to put water in a full vessel. But you know, I appreciated what a man came up to me afterwards and told me. He said, "We can drink from the saucer." We can drink from the saucer. In other words, if you put it in that full cup and it overflows, we can drink from the saucer. And you know, the Lord has been so good to us at times. We've had our cup overflowing. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. That you and I are blessed to be able to feed at the table of our Lord and to be nourished for by the God of all glory. I want to tell you, you know, whenever I see these things, I have the utmost appreciation and respect for the role of a mother. I'll tell you that. I want to say that from a natural standpoint to a mother here in this world. First of all, I want to tell you that you don't have a job that is easy. And it gets harder every day. The more and more and further and further, or closer and closer. Let's look at it this way. The closer and closer we get to the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the further and further away from godliness that we're going to witness out in the world. And in the midst of more and more ungodliness, the role of a mother becomes harder and harder and harder. I pray for every one of you in this congregation. I pray that the Lord would bless you in that capacity. Every time Brother Luther Hill bows his knee about to say a public prayer in this congregation, I've heard him pray for the mothers and for the babies of this congregation. I've heard it with my very ears. You have the prayers of those who love you. And we need to continuously pray for those things. You know, whenever I mention that in our prayer request, let's pray for the families of the church. You know, it's the I know it's individuals that compose it, but you know, if the family structure falls apart within, you've lost a critical component to the chain links of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. It takes the work of a mama and a daddy raising their children up in the nurturing and admonition of the Lord, because that is the future of the church. And it's not that the Lord can't intervene and He can't part ways like He did the Red Sea and every single one of us be out of the church and Him populate it again. He is able to do it. But if we're going to be part of it and it's going to be in our family, it's going to take work in building our houses and the way in which the Lord would have us to do. I pray for you daily. It's a big job. It's not anything to be taken lightly. But I want to tell you, as I see the traits that a godly mother would encompass, and that being one that builds her house, one that provides comfort to her children, one that provides instruction and correction to her children, one that also provides and nourishes her child. I'm most thankful of all for the Lord doing these things for us, and the Lord providing for us, and the Lord doing these things in our midst. He possesses these traits, and He's doing them every day. He does them daily. May the Lord bless us to see them. May the Lord bless us to thank Him for them. And may the Lord bless us as we see these ways that the Lord has done these things for us. Also, take a little time, as we do today anyway, and thank the ones that are our earthly mothers for the ways in which they've taken care of us as well. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Lord, how deep